2 Corinthians 11, and I'm going to read a couple verses out of there, and then later on in the chapter, I'm going to kind of tie some things together for you this morning. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2, Paul says, "I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, whom ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And then I want you to look at verses 13 and 14, 15. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." I want you to think about that. And then verse 14, "And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I want you to notice it says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Over in Isaiah 14, you can turn there if you want. I'm not going to be there very long. But Isaiah 14, 12 calls, the King James translators got it right when they called him Lucifer. "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer?" The phrase Lucifer is related to the word phosphorus. Phosphorus means light bearer. It brings light. It bears light. Lucifer means light bearer. Okay? The phrase angel of light, an angel is a messenger or a bringer of light. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Lucifer is what that means. And so I think the translators got it right there. I just wanted to point that out because we're dealing with the idea of who Jesus is versus what Paul mentions here in verse 4, another Jesus. We're going to finish that out today and move into this idea of another spirit. So, what I have up on the screen, I'm going to run through these fairly quickly. I got just several verses that brings to bear what the Bible says about Jesus. All right? In Revelation 11, 17, the Bible says, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned." Jesus is the Lord God Almighty. All right? I want you to get that. We believe that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. Can I hear you say amen? Okay? And I'm saying that because just about every cult that's out there will reduce Jesus to something less than God Almighty. It's what they'll do. Doesn't matter if it's the Mormons, the Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventists. Give me another cult out there. Huh? Hebrew Roots will do it. They'll do it. They'll do it in a funny way, but they'll do it. Okay? They will make like they believe the key principles of the Bible. Jim Staley called our church one time. He was running a pretty good size Hebrew Roots cult. And of course, they were meeting every Saturday. And I put out a Watchman broadcast called Sacred Name or Witchcraft. And I went up against these people who say you've got to say God's name in Hebrew, and you got to say it a certain way, or you're not reaching God. And I mentioned his name as being part of that. And so when that video came out, somebody must have told him about it. So So he watched, I don't know if he watched all of it or watched part of it, but anyway, there was a message on our answering machine, church answering machine, on a Monday morning, and it was Jim Staley, and he said, "I don't believe that. I believe in the core principles of Christianity," and he was trying to put himself off as somebody that I basically trying to tell everybody I lied. And so I thought, I'm pretty sure I had it right in my notes, but I'm going to check just to make sure. So I went to his church website and found articles that he wrote. One of them was about the real name of Jehovah, the real name of God. And I read it and I went, "Doll, that's what he believes. He believes that if you don't say Yeshua or you don't say Yahoo," how does he say you had? I don't remember if he said Yahweh, Yahuwah. Well, you guys are good at this. You're better at it than I am. But anyway, basically, the King James Bible was full of lies because it didn't have God's Hebrew name in there right or something like that. And so anyway, once I had his information in hand, I did a pastor, he called me on a Monday. That gave me about 24 hours to study it out. So on Tuesday, on Pastor Mike Online, I went, "Jim Staley called me a liar. Here's what he said." So anyway, but these people will reduce who Jesus is to something less than God. He is fully God. And when he came to the earth, he was both fully God and fully man. Okay? Now, do I understand that? Not quite. Do I believe it? Absolutely. Okay, I believe what the Bible says. John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." I like this because you have the Word mentioned capital letters three times in this verse. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Period. The end. And it's not a translational mistake. You shouldn't add the letter A in there. The Word was a God. He is God. Philippians 2:6. "Who," speaking of Christ, "being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Amen? Isaiah 9:6. In fact, you can turn there and you can underline these in your Bible if you want. "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, to be honest with you, I can't fully understand how Jesus is the Son, and yet his name is called the Everlasting Father. I don't quite understand it, but I believe it. And what happens is, and you'll see this all across the internet, people will write articles and they'll say, there's so much lies in the church about who Jesus is, and you know the way the King James is written, it doesn't make sense. So what they'll do is they'll try to write some article in order for it to make sense. And what they usually end up doing is reducing who Jesus ends up being. John chapter 8, verse 58. "Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Why did Jesus say that? Does anybody know? "Before Abraham was, I am." Jared's raising his hand. I'm pretty sure he's got the answer right on the tip of his tongue. When God identified himself to Moses, what was the name that he gave Moses? You said it. You were mouthing it, Helen. Oh, okay. "I am that I am." The NIV. Does anybody know how it translates it? "I am what I am." That's awful. Amen? So that's why, and when Jesus said that, the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, they knew exactly what he was saying. They knew exactly what he was doing. And they were ticked off at it. "Before Abraham was, I am." And they went, Did he just say that? He did not just say that. John 17:22. This is the prayer that Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's talking to his Father, whom he calls Holy Father. Who else uses that term? Does anybody know? The Pope. The Pope refers to himself, the Catholic Church refers to the Pope and calls him the Holy Father. That irritates me. It ought to. If you have a zeal for the Word of God, you have a zeal for Jesus Christ, it ought to irritate you when they call their Pope the Holy Father. Anyway, John 17:22, "And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." John 10:30, "I and my Father are one." Mark 10:18, Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God." What was Jesus doing here? He was making himself equal with God. He thought it not robbery. Jesus didn't think that he was doing anything wrong when he made himself equal with God, because he knew that he was fully God. When Jesus came upon someone possessed of devils, how did the devils react to him? "Hey, bro, how's it going?" Is that how they did it? "Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, what have we to do with thee?" They were scared of him, because they knew that Jesus had the power to cast them into the bottomless pit. They didn't want to go there. They may not have liked having to roam the earth and so on, but they definitely did not want to go to the bottomless pit, and they knew that Jesus had the power to put them there. Let's see here. Luke 4:12. Jesus answering said unto them, "It is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." When did he say this? What context did he say this in? He was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Not only, there's two ways of looking at this. I think this was in the case where the devil was asking Jesus to cast himself off of this cliff, saying, you know, his angels shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. And Jesus is like, well, no, I can't do this. That's tempting God. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So he says it in that context. But I think also another allowable context is Jesus is telling Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen? You'll see it if you look. There is always this battle in the Bible between Satan and Jesus. Satan hates Jesus. Why? Jesus is going to inherit the throne. Satan, remember from Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, he wants the throne. So he's jealous. He's covetous. And he says to himself, if I want that throne and Jesus is going to receive it, if I kill Jesus, then I can have the throne. Jesus actually taught a parable about that. About the... trying to remember. And my blood sugar's low too. Does anybody have any candy? Come on, that'll work. Your church members. Everybody in church has candy with them. You got lots of candy. Huh? Yeah. Yeah, keep it coming. Titus 2:13. The Bible says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any plainer than that. He is God. And then 1 John 5:7. That is probably the most hated verse in all the Bible, none of the new translations have it, and they actively fight against it, and they say, well, there is no Greek manuscript that has it before 1000 A.D. Doesn't matter. It's in the Bible. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You cannot differentiate one from the other. Now, let's change keys a little bit. Here we go. Let's identify the false spirit. Back in 2 Corinthians 11, let's do verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 17. I gotta chew this up and get rid of it or I'll spit. Revelation 17. Here is what I think another spirit is. This is one of them, but one of the big ones. There came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will shew unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth had committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her head was a name written, Mystery. I want you to think about that, because that's sort of the core of what I'm going to deal with. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. In verse 6, I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Just a little side note here, and then I'll move on. There's a lot of... You can watch a lot of videos on YouTube about the Las Vegas shooting. In fact, I'd say you could probably watch too many of them. Okay? Because about 98% of them are going to be just nothing but a bunch of hooey. Okay? A bunch of nonsense, a bunch of guesswork, people saying, oh, this was one guy, he's, I don't know, these people, I don't understand where they come from. But they're still trying to say that the Vegas shooting never happened. It never happened, Scotty. 59 funerals were held and nobody actually died. That's what they believe. That it was a show put on by the government, that they used all these crisis actors and they had fake blood. And on and on and on and on and on. Okay? That's not true. What is true, at the core of it, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy had a very evil spirit in him. No doubt in my mind. Very, very evil, murderous spirit in him. Killing innocent people. He's a murderer. Babylon is a bloodthirsty spirit. She loves the taste of human blood. This goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 4. In Genesis chapter 4, the Bible says the earth opened her mouth to receive Abel's blood at Cain's hand. Cain slew Abel, drew blood, and the Bible says the earth opened her mouth to receive that blood. And here in Revelation 17, you see Mystery Babylon, and she's got a cup in her hand. And it's full of the blood of the martyrs, the saints that she has had killed, innocent victims that she's had murdered, and she's drunk with the blood that she has drank from them. Okay? Where can I go with this? Stories about vampires and stuff like that, I don't know how that ever got started. But I have heard and read testimony from people who were deep into occult practices, and the higher up they got into those practices, the lower, as far as degradation, they went into. And one guy wrote, he said, "You'll never understand the feeling of waking up in the morning and immediately having a craving for human blood." And I'm going, "You're right. I'll never understand that feeling. I don't want to." Okay? But that's the depths that some people have gotten themselves into. The higher up you get with Satan, the more bloodthirsty and murderous you become. And so this spirit is the opposite of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God is a revealing spirit. One of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to accompany you as you read the Word of God to give you understanding and illumination of what you're reading. I'm going to preach a message this morning that, I mean, it literally came to me by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Because I was working on one, so you asked me, Todd, how I was doing with the sermon last night. And what I was working on at the time is not what I ended up with. Because when I went back and sat down to it, it's like the Holy Ghost said, "You're not preaching that tomorrow." No, I'm not. But I've worked so hard on it. Put it away. So I went to the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost gave me the name of a city to look at, and then afterward gave me a word to study. And when I did, I mean, it just clicked together just like that. Boom, there it was. And I went, "Okay, I get that." And you'll see what I'm talking about later on this morning. But the Holy Ghost reveals things. Mystery Babylon the Great is a concealer of things. She hides things. And everything about her religion and her religious practices are a mystery. Where's my former Roman Catholics at? Okay? You ever hear them talk, the priest talk about, "Oh, this is the mystery of the Blessed Eucharist. Oh, the mystery of the mystery of the Church of Rome, the mystery of this and mystery of that." Okay? That's a mystery cult. It's a mystery religion. And how many... what do they call it? The sacraments. How many sacraments are there? Where's my good Roman Catholics at? I'll give you a hint. Seven. It's seven. Confirmation, baptism, Eucharist, the holy, the priesthood, one of them, marriage is another one, so on. Anyway, there's seven spirits of God. You think about this. The Bible gives you seven spirits of God. The Holy Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic Church. The Roman Catholic, it's my blood sugar, okay? Give me one more of those, Gloria. I need a little bit more work on that. The Catholic Church has seven sacraments. Sacrament means to make you sacred. God's Holy Ghost in you sanctifies you and cleanses you and purifies you. We're purified by the Word of God, which is purified seven times. The Catholic Church does not give you the Holy Spirit. It gives you works. Seven performances that if you do these things, it makes you clean. Don't fall for it. Amen? Don't fall for that garbage. Anyway, so that's kind of where I'll be going with this, all right? Turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. So think about it. We have the Spirit of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. Then we have the spirit of Antichrist. The Spirit of Christ, through the Word of God, will reveal to you that Christ came in the flesh. Did He not? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's John chapter 1. 2 Timothy 3:16. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And that's what we believe. Amen? That's what we believe. The Spirit of Christ will identify Christ is that He came in the flesh. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now, already, is it in the world. Spirit of Antichrist is already working in this world. And my opinion is that it is Mystery Babylon the Great. That is his spirit. That is the agent that works on behalf of the Antichrist. Now, 1 John 4:3 in your King James says, every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. Here's that same verse in the NIV. Every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. What's missing? Come in the flesh. What does that tell you? It's an identifying mark. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Anybody can see that. The spirit of Antichrist will not acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And the NIV Bible does not acknowledge that. In the same verse, it's telling you that. Dun, dun, dun. I'm going to start incorporating sound effects in my preaching out here. It's called amens. Okay? Even now it is already in the world, all right? Now, Ephesians chapter 2. Underline this verse. If it is not the Holy Spirit, they are not the children of God. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to give you where I'm going with this. You turn while I chew. If a person or a church, denomination, religious ministry, religious ideology, whatever, if they do not have the Holy Spirit, they cannot be the children of God. Cannot be. We are born again by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. I still am just overwhelmed at the depth of the meaning of this. When this dear saint called me and explained this to me, I just about jumped out of my chair. The candlestick in the tabernacle having 66 decorations on it of an almond tree. And I just went, that's absolutely incredible. Here you have prophesied in the days of Moses, even before, or even in the days when the very first books of the Bible being written, you have a prophecy of the exact number of books that was going to be in the Word of God, 66. 66 things that the light of the Holy Spirit is going to come from. If you want illumination, read your Bible. If you think you need a fresh dose of the Holy Ghost, read your Bible. He's here. If you think you need revival, revival's in the Word of God. If you need life added to your personal life, or let's say your home or whatever, it's in the Word of God and not any place else. I have been to church services where they were pep rallies, just, you know, per se. They were all about exciting the emotions, exciting the flesh. And in those services, we can get a lot of people down to the altar. We can get a lot of people making a lot of noise. You can get a lot of people doing a lot of things when you start pulling the emotional strings of their heart. But that is not in itself a sign of the Holy Ghost of God. It is not a sign of the presence of... Just because people are doing this, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, sha-na-na-na-na, or whatever. And I can never do that good. I guess that's a good thing. That also is not a sign of the presence of the Holy Ghost. The presence of the Holy Ghost is going to come by way of, is the Bible around? Has the Bible been read? Has the Bible been preached? Has the Bible been believed upon? That's the marks of the presence of the Holy Ghost. In Ephesians 2:2, Paul mentions, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This devil that shot all these people in Las Vegas, he's lost. And as such, he has a very evil spirit in him. The Bible talks that Jesus identified Satan and called him a murderer. See, he's a murderer from the beginning. Where was the first murder committed? Genesis chapter 4. Who did it? Cain. The Bible says Cain was of that wicked one. The inspiration for Cain murdering Abel came from Satan himself. It was Satan himself who entered into Judas Iscariot. And here's Judas now, for whatever he did before Satan entered into him, now that Satan's entered into him, he's going to kick it into high gear. Satan is going to make sure that the Son of God is murdered on the cross of Calvary. He's going to make sure that the Son of God dies. And now that the Son of God is dead, I can have the inheritance. I can have the throne. I can have everything that would have belonged to Jesus. Okay, so Jesus died, but he got healed from it. Amen? He's not dead anymore. So now he's going to get it. Amen? But anyway, that spirit that is working in people, if it is not the Holy Spirit, it is, they're not born again. They're not saved. They cannot be accounted as children of God. Reg Kelly preached wolves in sheep's clothing one time. And he's the one that made the statement. He said, I'm going to give you some deep theology. The wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep. And I went, wow. Never thought of it that way. And I've been picked apart by hundreds of people. If I preach against some of their pet preachers that they like on TV or the internet, and if I mention names like Kenneth Copeland or Kenneth Hagin or Rodney Howard Brown or any of these other people, Joyce Myers, if I mention these people and that's one of their favorite preachers, boy, they come against me and they say, have you ever gone to this brother and with what you think they're wrong about? No, they're not brethren. When Kenneth Copeland says that God told him that he could have died on the cross just like Jesus died on the cross, we're not brethren. We're not even on the same page. 1 Corinthians 12:10. Take a look there. One of the gifts of the Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now it's interesting that he's mentioning these false prophets, and he equates that with being able to gauge the spirit that is in them. Prophets, preachers, teachers, evangelists, they will all have a spirit by which they are operating. If they are born again and they're preaching the Word of God, then it is the Holy Spirit. If they are not, if they are children of disobedience, then it is not the Holy Spirit, even though they say Holy Spirit, they say Jesus, they say salvation, they say faith, they use all the Christian religious terms the same, but it's not the same Spirit. It is another Spirit. And in the case of people like Rodney Howard Brown, it's a drunken spirit. He goes around, he's called the Holy Ghost bartender. He goes around telling everybody, you need to be drunk, you need to be drunk, you need to be drunk in the spirit, drunk in the spirit. Richard Roberts. Anybody know who that is? Oral's son. Oral Roberts' son inherited daddy's ministry. Went around preaching to everybody that they needed to be drunk in the Spirit, to get high in the Spirit, take a drink of the Holy Ghost, drink the Spirit, get drunk in the Spirit. Went around teaching everybody that, having big revivals where everybody's falling out on the floor and acting like drunk people. The irony of it is he gets arrested for drunken driving. Driving under the influence of alcohol. Gets arrested. Busted for it. He's a drunk. Amen. Not just a spiritual one, a physical one. I think they kind of go hand in hand. Okay? But anyway, God gives us the tools and the measuring devices that you and I need so that we are not deceived by false spirits. One of the gifts is discerning of spirits. God gives you these gifts freely. He does not charge for them. He does not make you do dances and whirl arounds. He does not make you do rituals for them. They are free. If you will ask God, God, show me what's going on. Show me the spirit that's behind this. God, show me in your Bible what's going on in my life. God will show it to you. Call unto me. Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. There is no reason why God's people should be ignorant of what's going on around them. And sometimes we are. Sometimes I am. And yet we have a gift given to us called the discerning of spirits. And we're told to try the spirits to see whether they be of God or not. So I want you to ponder that, keep that in your mind. And we'll continue this study next week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, dear God, for these people. And I pray, Lord, that you'd bless them. Father, I pray, dear God, that your word would have an influence and an impact on their life. Father, that they would be able to discern the true Holy Spirit, be able to tell the difference between the Holy Spirit and evil spirits, devils, doctrines of devils, Satan himself, Mystery Babylon the Great. God, that you would just fill your people with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Help us, dear God, to understand from day to day what's going on around us. Why the events occur that do occur in this world. Give us light, give us knowledge from your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.